one can help but be positive.
Cam Newton!
The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
I gotta tell you, that might be the most deceiving open you'll ever hear in your life. It is technically Fitzy and Hart here until 6:05 leading into a Red Sox pregame. But at this current moment, neither Fitzy nor Hart are in this studio at all. It is instead Chris Scheib with you right here. Hart will be here. He is on his way from Gillette Stadium. He was at Patriots practice today. So we'll get to hear everything Andy saw, heard, felt, all the emotions he felt down there at Gillette Stadium. He told me he has a take in the holster ready to launch. So I'm excited to hear what that is today. We'll get to all of it coming up here on the Fitzy and Hart program, technically here on a Saturday with Scheib and Hart. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in today. 37937 if you want to text in as well. It is, as Rob mentioned, if you didn't just hear, I just did a wonderful crossover with the one and only Rob Bradford, which was tremendous. And it has been remarkable, the amount of micromanaging, as he put it, the amount of just insane criticism that has been levied against Drake May and the New England offense after like two or three days of padded practices. I don't quite understand it. It's at times baffling to me. Like, if a guy shows up in practice and in training camp well before the season starts, by the way, oh yeah, and we haven't even played a preseason game, and is struggling, and he's a rookie, like, we can cut him some slack. I mean, the guy's figuring out a brand new playbook with a guy who's being an offensive coordinator for technically the first time ever, and being the one to call plays, outside of the fact that he did it in a random playoff game during a COVID year, which Kevin Stefanski probably helped Alex Van Pelt a ton anyways and kind of told him what to do since he was not able to be there. And so it's like, for a kid who's so talented, and we all saw it coming out of college. I mean, Drake May was one of the most highly regarded quarterbacks in the draft. Some people thought he would be a bust, sure, whatever. There's other people like me who think he, you know, can walk on water, because that's just the kind of talent he is. And so I never really understood why, after two practices, people were acting like the sky is falling. I mean, people on television were saying it was the ghost of Mac Jones. Like, what are we doing? He's not going to come out in, you know, week four of the NFL season and throw across the field, barely complete a pass, and then do it again 10 plays later and get a pick six. Like, this isn't the same guy. He's not. It is just so insane to me. I don't. And maybe somebody out there can explain why you freak out after two padded practices. But come on, like, I felt like I was being punked. I felt like there were cameras all around me, people waiting to just get my reaction to the fact that, oh, he's so bad, he's going to be such a bust. I heard somebody, a quote-unquote reputable beat writer, said that Joe Milton was going to win the job, that Joe Milton was better than Drake May. Like, what are we doing? Joe Milton has, I think I heard it, I'm a, you know, younger gentleman, so I heard it on TikTok. But I heard a clip from, I believe it was the Barstool podcast, Macro Dosing, and they're like, Joe Milton is really, the Patriots fans are getting the full test of Joe Milton, because he went to Michigan. He somehow convinced Michigan that he was this amazing player. He just sat on their roster forever. And then he went to Tennessee, somehow convinced Tennessee that he was really good, when in fact, all he does is throw a ball like 80 yards. That's it. That's all he does. And then Cowherd saying that Joe Milton's going to beat out Drake May for the start for starting job in New England. I almost fell out of my chair. That's where we're at, though, right now with the NFL season. People don't want to react to the teams that are just known for having success, like the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, around the NFL, we keep seeing massive contracts being given out to quarterbacks like Tua and Jordan Love. Today, you saw Tyreek Hill get a massive new contract. He tweeted, he's here to stay, and then all of a sudden, boom, 3 years, $90 million, $65 million guaranteed. He's staying with the Dolphins. Like, focus your energy away from young Drake May and focus on, like, criticizing Aaron Rodgers. Please, for the love of God, what are we doing? Stop wasting your time worrying about all the 11 passes he threw in practice. Fourier came on during a crossover with the Greg Hill Show earlier this week. I want to say it was Thursday. It was the day off from Patriots practice, so it might have been Wednesday or Thursday. And he even said, he's like, the kid's thrown 22 total passes that are of any sort of meaningful, and people are acting like the sky is falling. It's just, I guess I don't understand it. Maybe my brain just doesn't comprehend it. Maybe I'm clouded. Maybe my judgment is clouded. If you can explain it to me, I would be happy to hear it. But I watched Drake May a lot in college. I watched a lot of tape. I enjoy grinding the tape. I know that sounds like a super hard-o douchey move, but I enjoy grinding the tape from college, watching UNC play against Virginia Tech or Virginia or whoever. Fresno State or whatever it was. And it's just like, I saw a really talented kid. And people this week too, they were talking about how, yeah, he's just like a big arm. That's it. Bad footwork, all this stuff. But when you actually talk to the people who were there, some people point out the fact that Drake May actually felt most comfortable when he's on the move. The kid is very athletic, underratedly so. I mean, he scored, I want to say it was 22 rushing touchdowns in his 2 years starting for UNC. Like, it's weird to me that you are restricting him to a pocket quarterback. I mean, Cowherd was saying that Milton is just more athletic and more explosive. Like, what? Have you seen Drake May play? The guy is a ball of explosion. I don't think people were out of line comparing it to what Josh Allen could become. But also, you have to understand that Josh Allen wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in football on day one. It took a couple years. It took him 2 years to actually get comfortable in the NFL and be somewhat successful. I think his second year with the Bills, 20 touchdowns, something like 8 interceptions. It wasn't it didn't blow you away, but it was a solid season. You saw the potential because of the athleticism, the ability to move in and out of the pocket, the ability to make plays kind of improvisationally. And then on top of it, you saw the arm strength, which was just insane. Once he proved he could do it, they went and got a guy like Stephon Diggs, bring him in the building, and what do you know? Josh Allen became one of the best quarterbacks in football. And now, even now, people are doubting the Bills. And ESPN was doing their rankings of all of the positions and getting input from executives and coaches anonymously. If you won't put your name on it, you're a coward. But anonymously, coaches and executives around the league were weighing in on the top 10 at every position. And one of them said Josh Allen was super overrated. Like, dude, the only person that has stopped Josh Allen every year is Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of his generation already, and he's like 6 years in. I don't quite get it. People want to be hyperbolist. They want to rock the boat, similar to Wiggy yesterday, I guess. But it's just, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand what the point is. Like, you just drafted this kid third overall. Why do you want to bring him down? Why are you wishing for his failure after two padded practices? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I guess I was doing that with Mac Jones, so I should understand. But before Mac Jones was drafted by the Patriots, I thought Mac Jones sucked. I didn't think he was going to be a good NFL quarterback, and I was right. We'll see if I'm right about Drake May. I hope I am. People would say it's not looking great, but we got some ways to go at least. You know, first preseason game coming up on Thursday, which will be excellent. I'll actually get to see your quarterbacks in live reps. I don't know exactly what the rotation is going to be, how much of everyone you're going to see, but I can't expect that you're, you know, not going to see Drake May for at least a few series. I would assume a quarter is my guess. I feel like it'll probably be, you get Jacoby Brissett for like half the first quarter, maybe a series or two. Then you'll get Drake May for maybe the full duration of a quarter. Maybe he'll play up until halftime at that point, depending on kind of where you are at in the game. And then the second half will be Joe Milton and Bailey Zappe. I don't know if Bailey Zappe will even get reps in the game. It doesn't seem like he's getting many reps in practice. Seems like he could be one of the very first cut casualties on the horizon. Which makes sense. I don't think there's room for him on this roster. I think Brissett, May, and Milton are your three quarterbacks. And then, you know, if you can get Bailey Zappe on the practice squad, wunderbar. Like, that's awesome. Great. But he is non-essential at this point to the roster because he is just, he's not that good. We were clamoring for him last year because we were dealing with the ineptitude of Mac Jones. But Bailey Zappe does not deserve to be on this roster at this point. I'm sorry. It's just, that's the way it is. And so I hope on Thursday when the Patriots play in their preseason game that we get to see a lot of Drake May. I want to see a lot. I want to see as much as you're facing the Panthers on a Thursday night. Like, just let the kid get out there and sling it. Let him be comfortable. Move him out of the pocket. Put him on some bootlegs. I know yesterday in particular, they talked about how comfortable he was moving and throwing on the move. And he was making really good decisions. I think that's the thing that's kind of going under the radar in terms of Drake May's success or not success at this point. Is that, yeah, he's struggling at times to complete passes. Some are, you know, he's airballing some. He's missing on some receivers. The defense is also playing really well. And he's making all the right choices, right? He's finding the correct receiver to make the pass to, and sometimes he's just missing the throw. Or in a case yesterday, he rolled out in the red zone. Two receivers were his options. Instead of throwing, you know, looking back across the field like a moron, he realized that his two guys were covered, threw a ball at the pylon that he figured probably wouldn't be caught but knew wouldn't be intercepted. It got broken up, and it is what it is. You'll live to fight another day. Like, that's what you need out of an NFL quarterback. You can't just assume that a guy's going to make a play all the time. That's not how it works. If it was that easy, people would win as much as Tom Brady did. Like, that's just not... You can't expect him. You also can't expect him to be Tom Brady on day one. That's unfair. He has the potential to be very, very talented, like a Josh Allen or someone of that ilk. But you can't expect him to be Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady in day one. You just can't expect that, and it's unfair that we've put all this criticism and pressure on him already so far. 617-779-7937 if you want to hop in. 37937 if you want to get in on the text line. It is currently Chris Scheim here with you. Andy Hart will be here. Hopefully, I think I saw him walking in. Maybe he's in the bathroom or something. He should be here any moment now, coming from Gillette Stadium. He was at Patriots practice today. So we'll hear everything Andy saw and heard at practice. We'll talk about Matt Judon being out there and participating. Devon Godshaw finally got his contract extension and the guaranteed money that he said he wanted. So he's out there and happy now. We'll talk about the Patriots coming up here. We'll also mix in some Red Sox. We got you up until 6:05 for Red Sox pregame. Jacob, who do we got for Red Sox pregame today?
Joe Weil.
Joe Weil will get you ready to go for the Red Sox pregame. But right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
This is Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI, technically. It's definitely no Fitzy. That'd be Chris Scheim with you. And Andy Hart finally made his way into the studio. He hustled from Gillette Stadium, battled traffic, and got here. And I appreciate you, Andy. Welcome in.
Hi.
How are you today, bud?
I'm great. And you know what I did? I'm a method actor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So since somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 Patriots players showed up to practice this morning after stretching had already began.
Yeah.
I figured I would show up late to my radio shift to sort of prove a point.
Oh. So wait, so
No. Yeah, you heard me.
12 to 15 players showed up late.
So anybody who's been down there, you go to the practices. So let's say it's an 11 o'clock practice.
Yep.
Probably like 10:40, 10:45, players start coming out. A lot of times it's like Michael Jordan. Yes, he's on the Patriots. Some various players, some offensive linemen. Oh, maybe some returners, some receivers are going to... And just trickling, the number grows exponentially. Yep.
And they come running out of the tunnel over there.
And then 11 o'clock, they blow the air horn, and defense lines up on one side of the field, offense the other, and they start doing their dynamic stretching, butt kicks, okay, swinging gait, groin, blah, blah, blah. So the countdown, there's a countdown. There's a clock for like the final 10 minutes leading up to the start of practice.
Yep.
That goes zero. All the air horns, and you just see this group of players sprinting up the stairs to get out on the field as their teammates are beginning their running.
Can I take a guess who is amongst the group of players?
Sure.
Because there's one name in particular I feel like is amongst the group of players.
Wrong.
Matthew Judon was not.
Nope. Because
really?
He goes the far long way around to the back end of the practice field, and he was there. Now, when they start.
Because I assumed it would have been like a statement from him and his defensive buddies, like, hey, pay the man.
No. Well, some defensive buddies, but it just seemed like there were a bunch of players that were caught off guard that practice had actually started. Judon was on the field, then took the early portion of the running and stretching time to put his pads on, to do a little bit with no helmet on. He continues to half-ass it down there.
Yeah.
In blue sweatpants.
I heard you
with
guys
everybody
yesterday.
Else.
You and Gresh yesterday were like, we're in 11-on-11s. Judon, great rep, kind of got helped by the running back there, didn't really fight through, and then up. Coach, I'm out.
Yep.
Give me some water.
He's
and
going to sit on a Gatorade cooler. that whole thing continues to be weird. I actually thought he did a little more today. He was in the same attire, put his pads on really late. Yesterday I watched, he started putting his pads on 28 seconds before the air horn was going to go off to start practice.
Yep.
And then kind of screwed around and took his time. He's making a point. I'm out here,
he's
but
there,
I'm still not happy.
Yep.
I'm a child. That's what he's acting
like. But you did mention yesterday that he was coaching up some guys a lot, right?
Which
Is he still doing that?
Yep, and I think it's calculated.
Okay.
I think he's like, I'm a good teammate. I'm going to help everybody.
It's
but
his
I'm
way
not...
of showing that he's participating without really actually participating.
Correct. There's he plays some games. Today, I'll give you the
Seems
example
like
today. There was a run. You know how running backs finish runs, so it doesn't matter. It got stuffed. I'm still going to keep, and then I'm going to like break down the field.
Yep.
There was one of those that I think would have been stopped for like a 2 yard gain. We're not tackling. I believe it was Antonio Gibson running down the field. So Judon chases him full speed and does a Superman like dive at his legs, and I think intentionally doesn't wrap his legs up, but it was just like a look at me, show me, look at the effort from
I'm
the guy
finish
who's
the
looking.
Play.
Yeah, like I. He is a performer right now. He has put from the second
Talk
he leaves Gillette.
Actors.
Yes, from the second he leaves Gillette, walks the far way, mopes, puts his pads on late, helmet later. He's acting. He's putting on a performance for all to see the whole time. But the bigger issue, and this really pissed off my partner in Patriots crime today, who I've had a rotating cat. Guys at my side covering the Patriots for WEEI is a lot like the left tackle and right tackle position. You got to look over and you need a roster
Constant
to figure
cycle.
Out who the hell it is. Okay, so Tommy Friesepoff's not there. Fitzy not there. Scott McLaughlin not there. Today, John Lyons is there.
Lyons
loves him some football.
Of course he does.
Lyons
Former
also
college coach.
College coach. And I think that part of him, immediately, the horn goes off. These guys are running up. He comes down to me, goes, Is that normal? Is that allowed? Why are and I was like
that would be my first thought.
A, it's not okay. B, it's not normal. There have been a couple like stragglers here or there, but not a group of 12 to 15 or
now,
whatever.
Were they
it was
forced
today.
To like run laps or
Nothing.
Anything?
Nothing.
So
that's the worst.
So here's
part.
My thought. Was a coach with them? Because my thought is maybe it was like a positional group meeting? Was it like a special teams meeting? Because it was just a collection of guys.
If so that's not okay either.
No, I know, but at least the coach would be like, yeah, that's my fault. Gerard, I held them a little too late, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, it was not addressed. They all just kind of blended into the players.
That's weird.
It was very strange. And I think if you are Andy Gresh, for example,
who doesn't like Gerard Mayo to start.
Correct. Is going to find the negative in everything, even if it's not
yes,
a negative.
Because
it's
not Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Right. Is looking at this and like, oh, wee, as Gresh likes to do, the new culture. We show up when we want.
Virtual reps. We're late.
And I got to be honest with you, in this instance, I can't disagree with that mentality because, as I said to Lyons on the Six Rings post-game, post-practice recap.
Check that out on the Odyssey app and wherever you get podcasts.
Indeed. This isn't a Mayo-Belichick thing. This isn't an NFL thing. This isn't even really a football or a practice thing. This is like a life thing.
Yeah.
If if your CFO holds a big sales meeting and 20 of his top salespeople stumble in 10 minutes late.
On time is 10 minutes early.
Right. And so I'll be interested to see if there's any ram. So they have a day off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Then they're back on the practice field on Monday. Jerod will talk, I believe, on Monday, if I look at my schedule right. I'll be interested if he answers about this.
Yeah.
I'll be interested if everybody's on the field a little earlier, like a response to this.
Like at 10:30?
Yeah. Because it was, I'm going to say, eye-opening.
Jarring,
alarming. Yeah. Concerning.
It seems like it. That seems very, and I know people want to overreact and say that Jerod Mayo doesn't have control of the locker room because of guys like Judon doing what they're doing and Devon Godshaw and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like, this gives them even more ammunition to say that because this does not seem correct or appropriate.
Nope. And this, you know, Jerod is finding his way. For example, the other day when he said, when he was being asked about Judon, the first comments after their little dust up after Judon, the whole thing. And he said, you know, my philosophy is we keep everything in house. And it's like, 2 days ago, your philosophy was it was good for players to air their grievances publicly. Like, you've really changed. So he's learning on the fly, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, of course it is. The guy has literally never been a head coach at any level before.
But I got to think, Jerod Mayo, the player, wouldn't have run up the steps late to practice.
No.
Jerod Mayo, the teammate, wouldn't have looked at that and been like the captain middle linebacker type, wouldn't have looked at that and been like, that's okay. Yeah, no. So it'll be interesting. It's another talking point, observational point, and there's plenty of them. You want my other?
Yeah, give me your next one.
So the other day.
Uh-oh.
Gresham Fauria.
Huh?
I said, hey, you want to know who the best wide receiver through the first 6 days of camp has been? Most consistent wide receiver? I said, I'm doing it. I'm taking the cheese.
Tyquan Thornton?
Yep. You know who didn't practice today?
Tyquan Thornton. Yeah, what are you doing? I saw you on Twitter retweeting old friend Mike Kadlec saying, I think I'm taking the cheese. And my immediate reaction was, what are you doing?
He's been good.
Yeah, but don't punish yourself like that.
He's been good.
Okay.
You know me. I'm an eternal optimist.
Yeah, but
other than the 0-17 record I'm projecting.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, all the negativity that you need to balance it out, right? That's super negative, so you needed some positivity.
Yeah, and we're going to get into Drake May because there's an interesting talking point there, but
Definitely.
Tyquan Thornton, who has the injury history, who has the inability to transfer training camp practice success to the field, the game field, like, I took it, and now he's out there just, I don't know what the injury is. I know Andrew Callahan said it's not expected to be major, but, like, I don't even really care, major, minor.
It's an injury.
I need you out there.
Yeah.
As much as it's dumb to say, he's
in danger of getting cut.
Oh, certainly. I mean, they have the wide receiver position, take it for what it is very competitive.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yes.
They're all at the same level, and none of them are elite,
correct,
but there's a lot of guys there.
So,
and you know Polk and Baker aren't getting cut.
Absolutely. Polk and Baker are here
and
to
Pop.
Stay. You know Pop, and you know Kendrick Bourne isn't going anywhere.
Correct.
Whether he's on PUP or he actually makes
the
roster.
So that means that's four spots that are taken. That means at most there's like two other spots open for competition.
Right. Yeah. And he's a guy you almost need to fight through injuries early in camp, which I wouldn't necessarily advocate for everybody.
No.
Like if Rob Gronkowski says, my calf's tight, take the day off. Yeah. I don't want a tight calf turning into a pulled calf. But if you're Tyquan Thornton, because of your history and narrative
Absolutely.
And resume, you need to be out there, and you're not out there.
Because then once you make the team, if you get hurt, okay, you get hurt. But, like, make the team first, dude.
Plus,
don't do this.
His whole thing that he's been saying, like, all my injuries are from the ground or hitting the ground. I don't even know what he's saying. Like,
I don't know. Then be better at that.
Like, yeah, that's my thing. Then don't hit the ground.
Tua went and saw a judo instructor do that.
Right. Tom Brady used to brag about, like, I know how to fall or whatever.
Yeah.
Jimmy didn't know how to fall. That's why he separated his shoulder in his rookie, that whole thing.
Someone needs to teach Joe Burrow how to fall.
So that would probably help. Joe Burrow's my favorite player in the NFL right now, so there'll be no besmirching.
Sorry, I'm very negative on Joe Burrow. We can discuss that later. Yeah, we can have a quick segment on that.
Okay, I look forward to that. But let's first have a segment
Focus.
On our Joe Burrow.
Okay.
His name is Drake May.
Yes. So yesterday I saw reports, very, very good day out of him yesterday.
Yep.
Today, it seems like there was some mixed reviews. What did you see from Drake May today at practice?
I saw a good day. I saw a day where I thought he threw the football as well as he's thrown it since maybe early camp, spring, like one of his throwing of the football.
Yeah.
This is where I need to differentiate
completed passes and all this from throwing the ball.
I'm not going to swear, even though I thought about it.
You should. Saturday.
I don't give a bleep about the completion numbers.
Right.
That doesn't matter to me because there's you have to read into every pass. Is it broken up? Was it a bad pass? Was it a throwaway
dropped.
Because the receiver wasn't open? Was he under pressure?
Did Juju
was it dropped?
Fall down?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just throwing that out there as an example that may or may not have happened in the two-minute drill that would have been a first down completion.
So, like, there's a lot of context here that needs to be had, and that's why I'm glad you were there at practice today. So, please, add that context for us.
I don't know if you like this.
Okay.
You know, I developed my own, like, and you remember the old days from my pre-draft podcast where mm-hmm. I would do, like, up arrow, double up arrow,
yeah, yeah.
Like, kind of just my own system to make it known what I feel about a person.
Yep.
In the world of baseball, they give you, like, plus fastball or plus. I've kind of developed over the last 3 days, Drake May has been fine plus.
Fine plus. Got it.
So
okay.
He has expectations based on the fact that he's the third pick in the draft. He's the
Definitely.
Future of the position. So, you know, good enough isn't good enough. Fine is fine, whatever. But there's been a plus there. Like, I think he has trended in a positive direction the last
there's
3 days.
Growth is the
growth.
Word I'm looking for.
Up and down progression, whatever you want to call it. For example, first throw of 2 minute drill today. He drops back. Boom. He looks right. Covered. You know what he immediately does? Throws it into the what would be the 12th row.
Yep.
That's a good throw.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want you doing. Now, there was another play under pressure. Keon White, I think, is coming off the left side. Probably is just a sack, but okay, I'm going to run the ball. And then he tries the shovel flick
pass.
Oh,
yeah, don't do that.
Not a good idea, not a good throw. You're not Patrick Mahomes
or
yet. Or Josh Allen yet. Maybe we'll get there.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few years I'll be like, that's what he do.
But, like, give it some time first. Do everything else first.
Let's develop some of the regular. But I think consistently over the last 3 days he's thrown the ball well. Ever since we had the day when he was bad.
Yeah.
I said he was bad. I said it on Gresh and Fourier. Then
is that day two of padded practice or day one?
Day two, I think.
Okay.
Might have been day one of padded practice, actually.
I know he wasn't good on either of them, but one was
right.
worse than the other.
And, you know, that led into Michael Hawley saw Ghost
of Mac Jones and Coward saying
Cowherd,
Joe Milton.
Like, that whole thing.
Volan saying Milton is better than May.
So
like,
stupid.
Yeah.
It's just so idiotic and stupid.
Thank you.
But
Thank
I
you.
Can't address everything in one sentence.
No.
Well, so we'll just go forward. But since then, because I was worried that day. That was a day where I was like, yeah, Brissett's probably the starter. It's taken a little longer because I thought there was progression in the spring.
Yeah.
And he didn't really build on that early in camp. I think we're starting to build on it. And
cool.
This is where I remind myself, who I tend to be emotional, energetic, reactionary,
Absolutely.
Victim of the
that's
moment.
That's what makes people love you.
And it's hard, though, because I do that for every practice, every day. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, that was one practice. There's like five more coming.
Yep.
The preseason opener is coming. Then the joints with the Eagles. That's a huge week.
Yes.
So there is still time for him. And if he keeps going where I feel like he's been going, and I keep adding this in, if he gets a little gosh darn help from some of the people around him, like Juju, don't fall down when you run your little comeback. Or there was a specific 2 days ago, Wednesday's practice, I believe it was, there was a reds area where he made a nice throw. Looked like Baker just stopped his route, didn't catch it. Made a nice throw, hit Polk in the hands, he dropped it. Made a great throw front pylon, Baker has a chance to go up and get it. Doesn't catch
well,
it.
Well, so yesterday I read, and I think it was Taylor Kyles who had it, he talked about how they ran a bootleg in the red zone on a red zone play. He had these two receiver options. Both of them were kind of covered, so he made the decision, throw the ball at the pylon.
Yep.
It's not going to get picked, or his receiver's going to make a play. Nobody made a play, so it's incomplete, and you move on.
Yep.
And like that's a smart play that shows up as an incompletion, but is the right decision by the quarterback that you want to see be made.
Correct. And then the rookie example of that today is sort of the rookie learning. He had a receiver open, I think it was 87, backup tight end. Should have hit him. I don't know if his eyes weren't in the right place. It was an easy out in the red zone. I don't know if it's going to be a touchdown or going to set us up like first and goal, but
yep.
get the ball there quick. Boom. Didn't. Sort of scrambles, rolls right, scramble drill, throws a sidearm thing to the front pylon of the end zone that is dead balls where 87 catches it or no one catches it. Unfortunately, 87 didn't catch it, but it,
yep.
again, could have been a play, and you're like,
yeah.
well, you should have hit him the first time. You then kind of made the most of what was left over.
Yep.
But there's like a learning growth experience on both ends here
yeah,
of this
sure.
one play.
That's a play where, you know, if that happens in a game on Sunday, you watch the tape Monday and you're like, hey, get this ball out right away
right.
instead of the scramble drill. And then you move on and you learn from
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I, who was a little disappointed early in the week, I'm on the uptick.
My man.
And I am a maniac. You know that. I wanted him. I got him.
Yeah.
the whole thing, my whole theory, you can't break a diamond.
But you also outright said when he was bad, he is bad.
Well,
like,
I have
he has
to.
Been bad. Yeah.
I got to tell
you're
you what I see
every day. It's kind of why they send me.
100%. Right? But that's what we appreciate about you. We appreciate the objectivity, Andy.
And there's been a lot of that, quite honestly, in camp. And that's those inconsistencies and sort of like, if they could ever get like all these guys to make plays on
figure
the same day
yeah.
instead of like you're having
well,
a good day.
Because I heard Hunter Henry had a good day today, right?
Hunter Henry had a very good day today. And Hunter Henry's had a good
with
camp. Taekwon out, I would now say, and maybe all along Hunter's been the most consistent. He should be. He's mm-hmm. pro ready. He's year 9, year 10, yeah. whatever this is. First round pick. I mean, he's a talented
he's
guy.
He's been ridiculously consistent in his career as well.
Absolutely. And with a limit.
Yeah.
There's a ceiling.
It's 600 yards and like 8 touchdowns,
right.
and that's him every year.
Don't
like
expect 1,000 and 12 touchdowns.
No. I didn't say
right.
Spike years. Consistency.
No, absolutely. And that'll probably be good for either quarterback, both quarterbacks,
that's
as
great.
This year evolves.
It's reliable.
And then you get into the leadership. But yeah, he had a nice one-handed catch down the sideline today. And then he had
that.
A nice spot throw from Brissett under the goalpost where Brissett's under pressure and Henry's kind of making his break. And Brissett just threw it in the middle of the field to a spot, and he bends his route and kind of catches it diving underneath behind the linebackers in front of the safety. So,
nice.
Yeah, he's been good. And then everybody else I would put in the same boat, like Juju. Well, no. Juju just hasn't been very good. Too many drops.
Cut his ass. What are we doing? Why are we wasting
our
time?
My guess would be you don't have Bourne healthy. You don't know if Tyquan Thornton can make it through the summer. Javon Baker is a... uncertain presence, I would say. There's flags attached to him.
If you take into consideration what the Giants had with their draft board that was revealed on Hard Knocks, they had him as an attitude concern or a personality concern.
Character, personality. As someone said to me, actually, I don't need to out him like that.
But there's
some red flags with him a little bit. So he's not the surest of things. Pop Douglas starts
KJ
camp.
KJ Osborne, has he been okay?
KJ Osborne does not impress me.
Yeah.
He's got too many drops, first of all, especially on sort of a per-target basis in training camp, and I don't see the pops. I see the drops, but I don't see the pops. I don't see the downs and then ups. It's just like,
it's probably
doesn't
just
do
the Minnesota
much.
Minnesota offense, to be honest.
And, I mean, he's a guy, I guess the story out of Minnesota was always while he was there, there were some injuries in different times. He would have opportunities like, oh, this might be the game. He gets his chance to step up, and he never really took the bull by the horns. So I don't. He's on the bubble, I would say.
Okay.
Now, they paid him a little money, so will he probably be here? And
maybe.
He's healthier and younger than Juju, so that just puts him ahead of Juju.
Yeah.
Pop Douglas is the one guy. When he made the catch yesterday to sort of end practice in the red zone where he caught it across the middle of the end zone, and then he dunked it through the goalpost, which I didn't even know he could do.
I saw that,
at
5'8". I saw the video of that.
I'm like, wow, that's
okay,
impressive.
Okay, big dog.
But he brings – I actually asked Hunter Henry about this today, and he agreed – Pop Douglas and when he's out there, Kendrick Bourne are energy guys. They, not just with their play, but their personality, their everything. And I think they need those guys because I think a lot of the other guys, like Juju, is probably in a desperation mode. KJ's the new guy, the two rookies. I think you need some of that energy as this offense finds itself and Alex Van Pelt figures things out. Also, they're just sloppy.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. Like they had a play today. Play clock just ran down. It's going to be delay a game. Now, what I don't like is they didn't actually blow the whistle dead.
Oh, you should
just
blow the whistle dead, make them run a lap, and then get back and run a play.
And there's been a lot of that. There was a play yesterday in 2 minute on Wenu, I believe it was, jumps false start. And immediately, 64, I don't even know who that is, comes like running toward the field like he knows, oh, on Wenu's going to have to do a lap. They need another guard. I'm going to be the fill-in guard.
Yep.
And they didn't stop anything, so that guy, it was funny because he looked like a chubby little fire hydrant, turned around and ran in the other direction quickly because it's like, uh-oh, now I look ridiculous. I'm running on the field when he's not leaving the field.
Uh-oh.
There's just too many. There was even defense today. There was a guy who lined up in the slot and no one across from him, and I'm like, that's weird. He's not covering anybody. And then I said, oh, that's because he's the 12th defender on the field, and he just jogs like across the line of scrimmage toward the offense, toward like behind the play to just like disappear into... And they didn't blow anything dead. There was no flow. And I'm like,
that's not good.
It's all sloppy. There's too much of that. And they've talked about it. I give the players credit. Like, I think Brissett said something to the effect like, we got to clean up all the things that don't take any talent, like huddling, having the right 11 in the huddle, breaking the huddle, lining up where you're supposed to. None of that takes talent. We question this team's talent.
Yeah.
Those outsiders.
Yeah.
But if you can't even do the stuff, as he says, that doesn't take talent,
The basics.
That's how you get to 0-17.
That's fair. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the New England Patriots. 37937 if you want to weigh in on the text line as well. It is Scheim and Hart with you on this wonderful Saturday afternoon. We'll be here until 6:05, taking you right up until Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil prior to the Red Sox and Rangers tonight. Tanner Houck on the mound for your Boston Red Sox opposite. I believe it looks like the pitcher for the Rangers tonight is going to be Cody Bradford, left-handed pitcher. So hopefully the Sox can figure that out. We'll continue with our Patriots discussion next here on Fitzy and Hart. No Fitzy, it's Scheim and Hart.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Boston Sports Original.
You said the other day that the defense will always be ahead of the offense early in camp.
I kind of spoke too soon because the offense is honestly, and I challenged the defense on that, not to cut you off, but the offense the last couple of days, they've done well. Whether it's running the ball, the play action game, pushing the ball down the field, I think those guys are doing a good job.
I was going to ask you, what's been the difference there for them?
Well, I mean, look, they're playing with confidence right now. I'm talking about the offense. They're playing with confidence and getting more comfortable in the scheme, and the defense just has to play better, play with better fundamentals, play with better pad level, play with better just overall awareness. And I challenge those guys, and we'll see how they respond today.
Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI. No Fitzy. Instead, it's Chris Scheim and Andy Hart. Hart came live from Gillette Stadium. I appreciate the hustle out of him today.
All revved up and ready to go.
Even though he was a little late for the show. You know what?
Technically, I was working. I was just working in a different place.
Yeah. You know,
that's what happens when you spread people too thin. You ever hear about, like, Bill Belichick? He got spread too thin at the end and the team sucked. Yes, I compared myself to Bill Belichick.
He kind of gave up a little bit. I don't think you're giving up.
I didn't give up.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't give up.
No, you grinded to every last second.
And if we're going
to
be fully honest here, there is a 10-minute window I could have cut out of my day that might have put me here on time, but I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. There was a Chick-fil-A sandwich in the press box that I had to go up and eat.
Of course you did.
I would have been cranky. You didn't want me hangry. No.
You did have your peanut butter sandwich? You always have your peanut butter sandwiches.
No, but I knew they were going to have Chick-fil-A. That was on my schedule. On my to-do list was like practice, video, podcast, Chick-fil-A, get to Scheim.
Was it just a sandwich or were there waffle fries involved?
No, just sandwiches.
Just sandwich. And was it like their normal chicken sandwich with just like pickles? And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two options. There's also like a spicy one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do a nice job sandwich for us there.
Great.
And they're all in the little, like, the little tin foil pouches all lined up. And there's the red ones, which are the spicy ones, and the regular ones. I got the regular one.
Nice.
With a little Chick-fil-A sauce to dunk it in.
Nice.
And eat. It was yummy. Didn't get the cookie. Didn't think I needed
smart
cookie.
Good man.
Because I might have some Miller Lights later.
You're still in maintenance over here. You got to make sure you're doing all right.
All in moderation. Although I got to be losing weight. It's hot as, I don't know if I can say what I usually say.
It's hot as crazy. It's real hot out there.
Bellotas.
Hot as hell. Yeah.
Down there. Just sitting on that hill, baking. Yeah. And then I look out, and Devon Godshaw at like 320 has a hoodie on.
Well, so that's why I always thought it was impressive. So a guy like in the rookie class this year, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas.
Yeah.
Just like almost four bills of just a human being. How does, in Texas, how? That it gets to like 105 degree heat down there.
He's a pro athlete. You got to prep for it. When the going gets tough, get going.
That's
actually, Mayo, who we just heard today, referenced the sun as being adversity. Like, as a football player, you got to fight adversity.
The humidity
sometimes
was
the sun,
absolutely adversity.
It is. And I was just sitting there doing the, this is disgusting, but you know when you get the drip of sweat down your back that follows it, and then let's just say there's a natural crevasse for it to follow
100%.
At the bottom. I had that today. It was gross.
It's tough.
I probably stink a little.
I
got a little.
Yeah, don't.
I got a little funk.
Don't come near me. That's fine. Yeah. I showered. I went and golfed this morning at 7:30 in the morning and then came home and showered and I was ready to go today.
I could have used a shower. Actually, the other day when I did Rich Keefe coming from Gillette, I used a dude wipe and just didn't like the
wipe down. The old classic high school shower, get some Axe body spray, just rip that.
Down by me, they call it something else, and I think it's offensive, so I won't say it. It references a certain portion of our population.
Yeah, you definitely don't say that. Please don't.
Even if I have some of that portion of the population in my family heritage, am I allowed to?
No, just don't say it.
Somewhere Ken's going to text me. Please stop.
Please.
I got that the other night when I brought up Olympic boxing and women and careful.
Hey, speaking of the women in the Olympics, shout out to the women's soccer team today. Awesome game against Japan. Trinity Rodman scored an extra time to put them up 1-0 and win
so
the game.
So, am I wrong that like, they've turned it around quickly?
Oh, very quickly.
They were
remarkably quickly.
And you know what that should be hopeful for?
What?
Patriots. That's sort of a, right?
Look at the segue.
That was an aging core of successful players that petered out, and everybody's like, what the hell?
Hall of Famers.
Right. And now, boom, you find a couple new stars, young players, inject
energy.
Trinity
Rodman.
Boom,
we
got the trend spin. We just need a trend spin kind of person.
Her goal today was real nice. It was, oh,
so
back left panel. So,
what is that word?
The panel of the net, the back left panel.
Is that a soccer term?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
On the pitch?
Yeah, she bent it around the goalie. Goalie fully outstretched hand, curved it right
back
in.
Back left panel.
Yeah, the net. Like, the net's a rectangle.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I've just never heard it.
Yeah.
Was it a set piece?
No. It was...
For the beautiful game?
Hey, you said pitch. I'll take it. No, but it was a great win by women's soccer. They're going to face the winner of Canada-Germany in the semifinal. So they're one win away from a guaranteed medal, which is nice. But like you said... The hope that they turned it around so fast should also apply to the New England Patriots.
On a big stage?
Yeah, exactly. And the Patriots have hopefully found a couple young, talented players and guys like Drake May and Jalen Polk and maybe even Javon Baker. Who knows?
I think Siri actually changed. I think the 508 texter got what I was referring to right, but I think Siri talked to text changed it to something else.
Yes, it did.
Because it looks like the word that I was going to not say.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Andy. I don't even know where to go from there.
Yeah, so let's just talk Pats.
Yeah, let's keep
drop
talking
Mayo
Pats.
Challenging the defense, and they answered the challenge.
Yeah, so I guess I'm concerned. Should I be concerned about... Okay, that was pretty...
I mean, there's virtually nothing you could say after that surrounding the Patriots where I would say, no, don't worry about it.
Really? Not one thing?
Okay, why don't you pose me possibilities of things I shouldn't be concerned with?
The front seven. The defensive front seven.
Whose best player has blood clots and hasn't played yet?
Yeah, Keon White's been pretty good.
Second best player is in a, I didn't get my candy bar in the checkout line, I'm going to have a temper tantrum mode.
But Devon Godshaw got his contract.
He did, and he's a run stuffer. 40 years ago, I would have cared. We would have stuffed Christian Okoye and the Chiefs.
How's Uche?
Oh, wait,
then?
You brought up Keon White?
Yeah.
Keon White has looked pretty good in camp. Against a horrific offensive line. I'd like to see him beat some real people.
Well, so that's my other question, too.
We can do this all show long if you want. I got negativity out my wazoo.
I know. You brought it up last segment, which I thought was interesting, and I'm curious. Because, so we're going to see them in a preseason game on Thursday. Then we're going to get those joint practices.
Love it.
Do you think there's a chance that the offense is more successful against a defense like the Panthers or in joint practices against a struggling defense like the Philadelphia Eagles, with the assumption that the New England Patriots defense is actually really good?
There's a chance. Absolutely, there's a chance. Because I do
it's
think
slim,
the Patriots...
but there is a chance.
Yeah, and not only is the Patriots defense good, you start to pick up tells and you start to kind of know...
When they run the same plays every time, like
and, for example, the traditional base play of front side zone, backside boot, half the time when they pull the boot, there's like a D-end just in
the QB's
mug. Yeah. And I'm like... Did you make a great play, or have you been practicing against this play for months? And
you just know it's there.
You see, yeah, you're just kind of ready for it. So some of those, because those, like, if that pops open, that's Drake May on the run, nice, easy flick of a throw, 8 yards, ooh, we're rolling, we're feeling good here kind of thing. But when there's a guy in your mug, it's like, oh, my God, we can't even do our base play right.
Yep.
So I do think there is a chance of that happening.
They look better, at least.
I actually think there's a chance they look good against the Panthers, because I don't think the Panthers are very good.
Well, the Panthers
actually
suck.
I know
they also have
good.
A rookie coach who has no idea what he's doing.
Who leaves the office by 3 every day
or
whatever.
Yeah, and he's not a defensive coach, which means the defensive pro. And they traded away their best defensive player.
So my sneaky... So as much as I'm negative and we can play negative games... I think Drake May will look good against the Panthers because I think he's game day May.
Yep.
I think that's going to be a part of his sort of
package. Yep. That's what I've been trying to tell people.
And I think that's a game they're going to try to prove something.
Yeah.
And they need the momentum. And the other team stinks. And you're at home. I just feel like there could be a lot of positives for them. So I don't even know if the lines are even out. I would take the Patriots to win, to cover. Like, I think that's going to be a good performance.
Oh, yeah, you can bet on preseason games.
Yeah, huh? I took the Bears the other night, and then it got voided because the game didn't get finished.
Why are you
I was
betting
winning
on preseason games?
Because I was going to win.
But you didn't, did you?
No, I got voided.
Yeah, I don't, even see out. I don't even see a line for the preseason game.
There will be at some point.
I guess maybe.
So take the Panthers, lay the point. I mean, take the Patriots, lay the points.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that you're right, and I've kind of been under the impression that maybe that will be the case, that you'll have some success against a team like the Panthers and then in joint practices against a team like the Eagles. The Eagles' defense was not good last year.
But the flip side of that. So you think the Patriots' defense is making the Patriots' offense look bad?
No, I think the Patriots' defense is making the Patriots' offense look worse than they actually are.
Okay.
Not that they're making them not that they're like some great shakes and the defense is just elite.
So they might go from crappy to competitive.
Yes.
Okay. The other flip side of that, though, is the Patriots' defense is now going to face A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and some challenges that could make them look more susceptible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Fair.
Okay. Just as long as they're being fair.
Maybe not against
guess
the Panthers.
What?
But
when I see one-on-ones where Tyquan Thornton is toasting Christian Gonzalez, pretty sure A.J. Brown could do that too, and Devontae Smith might do that too, and might do it better because pretty sure those guys are better than Tyquan Thornton.
How has Christian Gonzalez looked so far?
Meh.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel good.
I'm just meh. Just meh.
I would argue, this is a little thing. Everybody wants to put him in Canton. Their best corner is Jonathan Jones until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
He's veteran, and he might not be a corner anymore. He's getting a lot of reps at free safety. I think he might be trending toward free safety.
So who's your other corner?
617-779-7937.
God.
Well, Marcus Jones isn't practicing today, so I don't know if he's dinged up.
Austin and Sean Wade out there?
Alex Austin has gotten a lot of reps. Azizi Hearn got a lot of reps.
Who?
Azizi Hearn. Never heard of him.
ZZ Top?
No, he's not ZZ Top, and he's not that good.
LaGrange, rejoin, please, next. Thank
who else you. Is in the mix? Who am I forgetting? There's probably a body I'm forgetting, but...
God.
They don't have cornerbacks.
Right.
And you know those are important in the NFL.
617-779-7937. Let's take this call real quick before we hit the break. Bill in the car wants to talk about Bailey Zappe. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's going to happen with Bailey Zappe? Are they going to cut him?
Thank you for the call, Bill. Yes.
That would be my simple
answer.
My explanation is he's an insurance policy. He doesn't get a lot of reps. He's not actually getting a chance to compete.
So my thought is he'll probably play a couple series in that preseason game and then the next day get cut.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game is because I wouldn't probably have him here right now. Rationalizing is they saw both firsthand here and around the league last year the scramble for quarterbacks. You know, whatever it was, 79 quarterbacks starting games. Yep. And even here, remember
so they don't want to be left empty-handed.
Yeah. And remember when they were bringing in Matt Corral? Oh, he's got a mental issue.
Did they bring in Kessler at one point, too?
They brought in a bunch.
Yeah.
And I think they're just saying, we have a guy who, for whatever you think of him, has won games for us in the NFL over the last couple
years.
He's
competent.
Right. Like, let's not kick him to the curb till we're really ready to kick him to the curb and move forward.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also want to give as many reps as you can to Joe Milton and Drake May and Jacoby
Absolutely.
Brissett.
Absolutely. So there's this, and he's getting porked. There's no other way to say it.
Oh, yeah.
His phrase, remember, was, I've been told I'm competing for a job. And then he looks at the reps and he's like, I'm not competing for anything. They're
not
letting me do
anything. Not
anything. Right.
617-779-7937 if you want to jump in here on the Fitzy and Hart program. No Fitzy, it is Shime and Hart taking you up to 6:05 for Red Sox pregame.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Boston Sports Original.
You said the other day that the defense will always be ahead of the offense early in camp.
I kind of spoke too soon because the offense is honestly, and I challenged the defense on that, not to cut you off, but the offense the last couple of days, they've done well. Whether it's running the ball, the play-action game, pushing the ball down the field, I think those guys are doing a good job.
I was going to ask you, what's been the difference there for them?
Well, I mean, look, they're playing with confidence right now. I'm talking about the offense. They're playing with confidence and getting more comfortable in the scheme, and the defense just has to play better, play with better fundamentals, play with better pad level, play with better just overall awareness. And I challenge those guys, and we'll see how they respond today.
This is Fitz Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI. No Fitzy. Instead, it's Chris Scheim and Andy Hart. Hart came live from Gillette Stadium. I appreciate the hustle out of him today.
All revved up and ready to go.
Even though he was a little late for the show. You know what?
Technically, I was working. I was just working in a different place.
You know, that's
what happens when you spread people too thin. You ever hear about, like, Bill Belichick? He got spread too thin at the end and the team sucked. Yes, I compared myself to Bill Belichick.
He kind of gave up a little bit. I don't think you're giving up.
I didn't give up.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't give up.
No, you grinded to every last second.
And if we're going
to
be fully honest here, there is a 10-minute window I could have cut out of my day that might have put me here on time, but I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. There was a Chick-fil-A sandwich in the press box that I had to go up and eat.
Of course you did.
I would have been cranky. You didn't want me hangry. No.
You did have your peanut butter sandwich? You always have your peanut butter sandwiches.
No, but I knew they were going to have Chick-fil-A, so that's that was fair. On my schedule. On my to-do list was like practice, video, podcast, Chick-fil-A, get to shine.
Was it just a sandwich or were there waffle fries involved?
No, just sandwiches.
Just sandwich. And was it like their normal chicken sandwich with just like pickles? And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two options. There's also like a spicy one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do a nice job for us there.
Great.
And they're all in the little, like, the little tin foil pouches or whatever, all lined up. And there's the red ones, which are the spicy ones, and the regular ones. I got the regular one.
Nice.
With a little Chick-fil-A sauce to dunk it in.
Nice.
And eat. It was yummy. Didn't get the cookie. Didn't think I needed
smart
to go cookie.
Good man.
Because I might have some Miller Lights later.
You're still in maintenance over here. You got to make sure you're doing all right.
All in moderation. Although, I got to be losing weight. It's hot as, I don't know if I can say what I usually say.
It's hot as crazy. It's real hot out there.
Pelotas.
Hot as hell. Yeah.
Down there. Just sitting on that hill, baking. Yeah. And then I look out, and Devon Godshaw at like 3:20 has a hoodie on.
Well, so that's why I always thought it was impressive. So a guy like in the rookie class this year, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas.
Yeah.
Just like almost four bills of just a human being. How does, in Texas, how? That it gets to like 105 degree heat.
He's
down
a pro
there.
Athlete. You got to prep for it. When the going gets tough, get going.
That's
actually Mayo, who we just heard today, referenced the sun as being adversity. Like as a football player, you got to fight adversity.
The humidity
sometimes
was
the sun,
absolutely adversity.
It is, and I was just sitting there doing the. This is disgusting, but you know when you get the drip of sweat down your back that follows it, and then. Let's just say there's a natural crevasse for it to follow
100%.
At the bottom. I had that today. It was gross.
It's tough.
I probably stink a little.
I
get a little.
Yeah, don't.
I get a little funk.
Don't come near me. That's fine. Yeah. I shower. I went and golfed this morning at 7:30 in the morning and then came home and showered and I was ready to go today.
I could have used a shower. Actually, the other day when I did Rich Keefe coming from Gillette, I used a dude wipe and just didn't like the
wipe down. The old classic high school shower, get some Axe body spray, just rip that.
Down by me, they call it something else, and I think it's offensive, so I won't say it. It references a certain portion of our population.
Yeah, definitely don't say that. Please don't.
Even if I have some of that portion of the population in my family heritage, am I allowed to?
No, just don't say it.
Somewhere Ken's going to text me. Please stop.
Please.
I got that the other night when I brought up Olympic boxing and women and... Careful.
Hey, speaking of the women in the Olympics, shout out to the women's soccer team today. Awesome game against Japan. Trinity Rodman scored an extra time to put them up 1-0 and win the game.
So, am I wrong that like, they've turned it around quickly?
Oh, very quickly.
They were
remarkably quickly.
And you know what that should be hopeful for?
What?
Patriots. That's sort of a, right?
Look at the segue.
That was an aging core of successful players that petered out, and everybody's like, what the hell?
Hall of Famers.
Right. And now, boom, you find a couple new stars, young players, inject
energy.
Trinity
Rodman.
Boom, we got the trin spin. We just need a trin spin kind of person.
Her goal today was real nice. It was, back left panel. So,
what is that word?
The panel of the net, the back left panel.
Is that a soccer term?
Yeah, it's just like. I don't know.
On the pitch?
Yeah, she bent it around the goalie. Goalie fully outstretched hand, curved it right in.
Back left panel.
Yeah, the net. Like the net's a rectangle.
I get what you're saying. I've just never heard it.
Yeah.
Was it a set piece?
No. It was...
For the beautiful game?
Hey, you said pitch. I'll take it. No, but it was a great win by women's soccer. They're going to face the winner of Canada-Germany in the semifinal. So they're one win away from a guaranteed medal, which is nice. But like you said... The hope that they turned it around so fast should also apply to the New England Patriots.
On a big stage.
Yeah, exactly. And the Patriots have hopefully found a couple young, talented players and guys like Drake May and Jalen Polk and maybe even Javon Baker. Who knows?
I think Siri actually changed. I think the 508 texter got what I was referring to right, but I think Siri talk to text changed it to something else.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Because it looks like the word that I was going to not say.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Andy. I don't even know where to go from there.
Yeah, so anyway. Let's just talk Pats.
Yeah, let's keep
Drop
talking
Mayo.
Pats.
Challenging the defense, and they answered the challenge.
Yeah, so I guess I'm concerned. Should I be concerned about... Okay, that was pretty...
I mean, there's virtually nothing you could say after that surrounding the Patriots where I would say, no, don't worry about it.
Really? Not one thing?
Okay, why don't you pose me possibilities of things I shouldn't be concerned with?
The front seven. The defensive front seven.
Whose best player has blood clots and hasn't played yet?
Yeah, Keon White's been pretty good.
Second best player is in a, I didn't get my candy bar in the checkout line, I'm going to have a temper tantrum mode.
But Devon Godchild got his contract.
He did, and he's a run stuffer. 40 years ago, I would have cared. We would have stuffed Christian Okoye and the Chiefs.
How's Uche?
Oh, wait,
then?
You brought up Keon White?
Yeah.
Keon White has looked pretty good in camp against a horrific offensive line. I'd like to see him beat some real people.
Well, so that's my other question, too.
We can do this all show long if you want. I got negativity out my wazoo.
I know. You brought it up last segment, which I thought was interesting, and I'm curious because, so we're going to see them in a preseason game on Thursday. Then we're going to get those joint practices.
Love it.
Do you think there's a chance that the offense is more successful against a defense like the Panthers or in joint practices against a struggling defense like the Philadelphia Eagles, with the assumption that the New England Patriots defense is actually really good?
There's a chance. Absolutely, there's a chance. Because I do
it's
think
slim,
the Patriots...
but there is a chance.
Yeah, and not only is the Patriots defense good, you start to pick up tells and you start to kind of know...
When they run the same plays every time, like
and, for example, the traditional base play of front side zone, backside boot, half the time when they pull the boot, there's like a D-end just in
he
the
just
QB's
knew.
Mug. Yeah. And I'm like... Did you make a great play, or have you been practicing against this play for months? And
you just know it's there.
You're just kind of ready for it. So some of those, because those, like if that pops open, that's Drake May on the run, nice easy flick of a throw, 8 yards, ooh, we're rolling, we're feeling good here kind of thing. But when there's a guy in your mug, it's like, oh my God, we can't even do our base play right.
Yep.
So I do think there is a chance of that
they
happening.
They look better, at least.
I actually think there's a chance they look good against the Panthers, because I don't think the Panthers are very good.
Well, the Panthers
actually,
suck.
I know
they also have
good.
A rookie coach
right.
who has no idea what he's doing.
Who leaves the office by 3 every day
and
or whatever.
Yeah, and he's not a defensive coach, which means the defensive pro- – and they traded away their best defensive
right.
player.
So my sneaky – so as much as I'm negative and we can play negative games – I think Drake May will look good against the Panthers because I think he's
nice.
Game day May.
Yep.
I think
my
that's going to be a part of his
yep.
sort
that's what I've been
of package.
Trying to tell people.
And I think that's a game they're going to try to prove something.
Yeah.
And they need the momentum. And the other team stinks. And you're at home. I just feel like there could be a lot of positives for them. So I don't even know if the lines are even out. I would take the Patriots to win, to cover. Like I think that's going to be
know.
A good
you,
performance.
Oh, yeah. You can bet on preseason games.
Yeah.
Huh?
I took the Bears the other night, and then it got voided because the
Why?
Game didn't get finished.
Why are
I was
you betting
winning
on preseason games?
Because I was going to win.
But you didn't, did you?
No, I got voided.
Yeah.
It
I don't
got rained
see
out.
I don't even see a line for the preseason
there
game.
There will be at some point.
I guess maybe.
So take the Panthers, lay the point. I mean, take the Patriots, lay the points.
Okay. Well, if. Yeah, I'm hoping that you're right, and I've kind of been under the impression that maybe that will be the case, that you'll have some success against a team like the Panthers and then in joint practices against a team like the Eagles. The Eagles' defense was not good last year.
But the flip side of that. So you think the Patriots' defense is making the Patriots' offense look bad?
No, I think the Patriots' defense is making the Patriots' offense look worse than they actually are.
Okay.
Not that they're making them not that they're like some great shakes and the defense is just elite.
So they might go from crappy to competitive.
Yes.
Okay. The other flip side of that, though, is the Patriots' defense is now going to face A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and some challenges that could make them look more
Less.
Susceptible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Fair.
Okay. Just as long as they're being fair.
Maybe not against
guess
the Panthers.
What?
But
when I see one-on-ones where Tyquan Thornton is toasting Christian Gonzalez, pretty sure A.J. Brown could do that too, and Devontae Smith might do that too, and might do it better because pretty sure those guys are better than Tyquan Thornton.
How has Christian Gonzalez looked so far?
Meh.
It doesn't make me feel good.
I'm just meh. Just meh.
Well, I would argue, this is a little thing. Everybody wants to put him in Canton. Their best corner is Jonathan Jones until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
He's veteran, and he might not be a corner anymore. He's getting a lot of reps at free safety. I think he might be trending toward free safety.
So who's your other corner?
617-779-7937. Well, Marcus Jones isn't practicing today, so I don't know if he's dinged up. I don't think
Alex
he's
Austin and Sean Wade out there.
Alex Austin has gotten a lot of reps. Azizi Hearn got a lot of reps.
Who?
Azizi Hearn. Never heard of him.
ZZ Top?
No, he's not ZZ Top, and he's not that good.
LaGrange rejoined, please, next.
Thank you. Who else is in the mix? Who am I forgetting? There's probably a body I'm forgetting, but...
God.
They don't have cornerbacks.
All right.
And you know those are important in the NFL.
617-779-7937. Let's take this call real quick before we hit the break. Bill in the car wants to talk about Bailey Zappe. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's going to happen with Bailey Zappe? Are they going to cut him?
Thank you for the call, Bill. Yes.
That would be my simple answer.
Yes.
My explanation is he's an insurance policy. He doesn't get a lot of reps. He's not actually getting a chance to compete.
So my thought is he'll probably play a couple series in that preseason game and then the next day get cut.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game, where the end game is, because I wouldn't probably have him here right now. Rationalizing is they saw both firsthand here and around the league last year the scramble for quarterbacks. You know, whatever it was, 79 quarterbacks starting games.
Yeah.
And even here, remember
when they don't want to be left empty-handed.
Yeah. And remember when they were bringing in Matt Corral? Oh, he's got a mental issue.
Did they bring in Kessler at one point, too?
They brought in a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're just saying, we have a guy who, for whatever you think of him, has won games for us in the NFL over the last couple
years. He's competent.
Right. Like, let's not kick him to the curb till we're really ready to kick him to the curb and move forward.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also want to give as many reps as you can to Joe Milton and Drake May and Jacoby.
Absolutely.
Brissett.
Absolutely. So there's this, and he's getting porked. There's no other way to say
it. Oh, yeah.
He's been, his phrase, remember, was, I've been told I'm competing for a job.
Not competing.
And then he looks at the reps and he's like, I'm not competing for anything. They're
can't
not letting
compete
me
when
do
you're
anything.
Not getting anything.
Right.
617-779-7937 if you want to jump in here on the Fitzy and Hart program. No Fitzy, it is Shime and Hart taking you up to 6:05 for Red Sox pregame.